record. My name is Ralph Cuevas, and this oral history is being conducted for the Mi Familia, Mi Comunidad project. Today's date is October 15th, 2016, and the location is the John E. Connor Museum in Kingsville, Texas. This event is a collaboration of the John Connor Museum and the South Texas Archives, made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. The purpose of this project is to obtain the oral histories of South Texas residents in an attempt to document, collect, and preserve the rich heritage of Hispanics living in South Texas. For the record, please state your first name, last name, age, and date of birth, and your current address.
I am Nelda Silva. I live at in Corpus Christi, Texas. The physical address.
Address?
3329 Olson Drive. Okay. Date of birth, April 29th, 1950.
Okay, so your current age is?
I am 66.
Okay, all right. And how long have you lived in South Texas?
All my life, except a few years in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, I understand that there's a particular memory which you have concerning your grandfather's bakery in Robstown that you wish to tell me about. So tell me about your grandfather's bakery.
My grandfather started his bakery from what we've been told in 1919 on Main Street, and at that time it was a bare downtown Robstown. There weren't there that many buildings.
And what was his name?
His name was Manuel Suarez Blanco. He was born in Matamoros, Tamaulipas, Mexico.
And was this your paternal grandfather or your maternal grandfather?
Maternal.
Okay, maternal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell me, he started it, and this was the only, to my understanding, the only Mexican bakery, the first Mexican bakery?
Yes, in Robstown. Mm-hmm. My first building went up in 1919, and then he demolished that one and built another one, a bigger one, in 1921 in the same location.
Okay. And what do you remember most about that bakery growing up? Did you work there? Did you have any duties that they were assigned to you?
Yes.
What type of work?
Even back then, it was multifunctional because we would go in the back and help him either with preparing things for him, although he woke up much earlier than we did because we didn't live in the bakery. We lived in our own house, but when we showed up, we would help him prepare whatever he was getting ready to bake, and we would do minimal things that an adolescent could do.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of tasks are we talking about?
Washing his pots and pans mostly, and then mixing, weighing, because he used to have a scale where he would weigh his flour and his shortening and the sugars and all that. So we would prepare that for him and have it ready for him. And he had a table that was maybe about 20 feet long, a wooden table where he worked, where he had a scale and he had all his pots and pans on one side and his cooking equipment on the other side. Had a huge, I don't remember if it was a gas oven. I don't know if they were called ovens. It was about maybe 6-8 foot tall and had several shelves. Where,
so he could bake multiple types of bread.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what types of bread? Give me the names of the different types of pastries that he would make.
He was very, very well known for his pan francés, or the French bread. People from everywhere would come and buy that from him. He would make molletes, the cupcakes, polvorones, which a lot of people now call pan de polvo. Empanadas, the pink cake also, of course, and some cookies.
And like, what would you say the prices were of the various?
A nickel.
A nickel for most of the items.
A nickel, yes. And then from there, when we would, as they were cooling, part of our job also was to prepare them on the pans and take them up to the front so that they could be set out on display so that people could come and buy.
And then you mentioned your grandmother's role in the store. What was her role?
Mm-hmm. She was a sales lady, and we would help her with that also. She would be the one in charge of selling the bread, and we would help her bag it. We would get the bag off the... at that time, it was a... There was a... Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Salem or different companies would make a metal display, for lack of a better word, yes, and one of them would be to open the bottles. It had a bottle opener. Another one would had the I don't know if you've ever seen these metal hangers that would slide onto the display, and that's where we would hang the bags. And so we would just pull off one bag at a time whenever we needed to bag the bread.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was part of our job.
That's part of your job. Now, what time did his bakery open for the public? What time did he open?
At 8 o'clock in the morning, as far as I know.
Monday through Friday, 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
7 days a week. So he had to get up pretty early. What time did he get up to start his preparations for the bakery?
Oh, it was still dark. That's all I remember, that it was dark when I was around. Right.
Now, so did you help him before school, then after school again, and then in summers?
Summertimes, right. Right, and in the afternoons. Yeah. My older brother and a cousin of mine, or a couple of other cousins, were the ones that did a lot more of the actual baking with him than we did. Because at that time, and maybe in many places still, the female had their role. Yeah, so the men had to be...
Some things that don't change.
Exactly.
Exactly. So was there a particular task that you liked doing more than others, that you really remember that you used to like to do? What was that?
Eating the bread.
Eating the bread. Oh, yeah.
Eating the bread.
Yes.
Yeah. But we had our tasks. I remember the floor being all cement, the foundation for their store, their house, and the bakery was all cement. And I remember that they used sawdust. Mm-hmm. A lot of sawdust to clean.
Yes, I remember in some of the stores, a colored sawdust.
Right, and to keep the moisture.
A certain
the scent?
Scent, mm-hmm. I remember, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then it would be to keep the moisture controlled out of the cement.
I didn't know that.
Right, right. So one of my jobs was to sweep all that up after.
Was there a particular job that you didn't like doing, that you wanted to avoid doing?
Actually, no, I enjoyed almost everything. My grandfather at that time delivered bread also to some of the little local stores that were out in the neighborhoods. Many communities still have those, but the little neighborhoods had their own little local store, mm-hmm. or people opened a little store in their house, and my grandfather would deliver bread there. So I remember loading up the bread with him. He had a sedan, I don't remember what they were called back then, but he made wooden shelves on the sides so that we could slide the bread trays onto those. And then he would deliver to the different stores.
So we're talking from your memories from growing up, what time frame were we looking at?
The late 50s?
The late 50s.
Early 50s. More than late 50s.
Late 50s,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did he continue in that business, or did his children pick up the business after?
No, the bakery closed when he retired.
When he retired?
He was forced to retire because of an illness.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no one, they had an adopted son that also was a good baker, and he grew up and continued baking and was a chef at the country club here in Corpus Christi.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But he continued baking, but not in Robstown.
Not in Robstown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so that was lost to the community then when he closed his bakery.
Oh, definitely. Now,
but you said there had been another bakery that opened up later on, and
yes.
So they still had another Mexican bakery, but his was the first Mexican bakery in Robstown.
Right.
Right.
And he was already established when Joe Cotton began his business, his barbecue business, and in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that my father would go and buy chopped beef or brisket from the trailer, from Joe Cotton's trailer, and bring it home so that we could make sandwiches with the French bread.
French bread.
Yeah, which was delicious. Delicious.
So you grew up in Robstown and then eventually moved to Corpus?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you resided.
Right, after I graduated and went to college.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
My grandfather came from Matamoros and named the bakery after a really important battle during the Mexican Revolution that they called La Heroica, because it means, you know, they defeated, they won.
They won.
In that little battle during the Mexican Revolution. And that's why he chose La Heroica.
Oh, okay, good.
So it comes from Matamoros.
So he was probably a man of great standing within the Mexican-American community in Robstown.
Yes, very humble.
Yeah.
Very humble.
As a baker.
Yeah, as a baker, he was well known. Robstown at that time was very, very, very dominant in the cotton picking industry. And the people from all over the country would come during the cotton picking season. And they, from whatever part of the country they were from, they knew my grandfather. Yeah, and they knew that he was generous, and that if they didn't have money, they could stop by, and he always had some bread for them or something to drink, a soda or coffee.
Wow, he's a generous man.
Yes, very, very faith-based.
Good, that's yes. Really good. All right, well, Nelda, thank you for coming in today and
you're welcome.
Sharing
thank
these,
you.
Family histories with us.
Thank you.
And we will definitely preserve these and save these for future generations.
Can I mention one other thing
that
he was known for? And I didn't know about this until I was older, but he also, as far as I know, had the first taxi service in the Robstown area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And how did that business come about that you can remember? How did he get into the taxi business?
I'm really not sure. All I know is that he would take people, and I don't know when, it must have been in the afternoon, I don't know when he made the time for this, but he would travel as far as Laredo and down into the valley to either take or bring people.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, how about that? Mm-hmm. So he was a taxi service and he was providing a service, because yeah, vehicles, not everybody could afford a vehicle back then.
Exactly.
And so there's mm-hmm. people could afford them, and he was mm-hmm. one, obviously had a vehicle and put it to some good use
yes.
in the neighbors and
yes.
So a taxi service. So now, did that? How did people get in touch with him to find out that hey, I need a ride somewhere? Did they just call him up or come by the house?
As far as I know, they would just come by the bakery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he operated out of the bakery. So
yes,
the bakery. He was driving them to wherever they needed to go.
Yes, his building was one of those long ones where the business part of it was in the front. The house was in the middle. Their living quarters were in the middle, and the bakery was in the back. So it was multi-purpose.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah. So as far as I know, they would just come by and because they didn't have phones, but they would just come by and solicit a ride from him, and that's how he met my grandmother. Actually, on one of his trips to Laredo, he ended up meeting my grandmother, and then they ended up getting married. Felisa Arámbula.
Felicia
Arámbula.
And she was from Laredo.
Yeah, they were living in Laredo. Originally the Arámbulas were from Vialdama.
Okay.
In Mexico.
Right.
Mhm. And
so that's how he met her there. So she came to Kingsville, huh?
Exactly.
I mean to Robstown.
To Robstown.
Yes, mm-hmm. So she came and lived with
right.
Robstown.
And some of her relatives were living here already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on her side of the family is there's been research, or we've researched, and I've been to Vialdama and met some of the family, but we have roots going back to Pancho Villa. But we're still researching all that, trying to. We have dates and we have names of the people and of her family that migrated, and we're trying to get away from the dangers that he was causing.
Yes.
Right,
yes,
the family was escaping from those dangers.
Migration at that period between 1910.
Right.
In 1930, of a bunch of people leaving,
right.
Yeah, all the carnage that's going on in Mexico.
Right, exactly. So they migrated from east of Nuevo León up to Vialdama, and then from Vialdama came up into Texas.
Into Texas.
Mm-hmm. And they met in Laredo.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed for this Common Heritage Grant Project. The South Texas Archives and the John E. Conn Museum very much appreciate your participation in our efforts to collect these treasure histories. This concludes your interview.